All right, Michelle, well, we're back. We put the band back together here on West Coast Project for the slap. So, Michelle, why do I hate the people, but I love the trouble and turmoil? First of all, what do you think of the slap? Tell me what you think of it.
Goodness. You know, I don't dislike it, I don't think, as much as maybe a lot of the other people that I've heard talking about it. It seems like you either like it or you don't like it. I do dislike it. I do. But I like disliking it. I'm enjoying watching it so I can
pick it apart.
Yes. And that's not a good quality. That's a little embarrassing. But it's true.
Well, that's what critics do.
Yeah, I don't want to be a
total
critic.
Fan cast. Like, oh, I love, like, who's the Maria Menounos one? That one is just horrible podcast because all they do is love everything.
Oh,
have you ever listened to them?
I haven't.
Like, this is the Maria Menounos podcast for the Walking Dead, and it's all.
Well, maybe they just do what they love because it's funner to do what they love.
It's highly overproduced, like fan casty reviews of shows. I don't know. That's why I like Bald Move and stuff. They pick apart, you know, they criticize. They take apart what they don't like and they make it funny. And
they do. And I agree with them sometimes and I disagree with them sometimes. They're not, they don't, it's not always just my thought process, what they have, which I like too.
Yeah, it gives you a new take on it.
I think so, yeah.
But I do hate the people in the slap, but I love the, I love them getting into trouble.
But you don't mean the people, like the actors.
No,
because there's great
actors,
the characters. I think we're supposed to hate these characters. I can't find a character to like in this thing.
They all should be slapped.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far, but that was rough.
The guy who was on, the guy who did the slapping, forget his name, but the actor was on Conan. And he says people stop him on the street and they say, you should have slapped that kid three times as hard as you slapped him.
You hear that a lot. You hear that a lot.
That kid is a little shit, man. That kid Hector is horrible. Or not Hector. What's his name?
Hugo.
Hugo. Hector's horrible, too.
Hector's horrible. Harry's horrible. Rosie's horrible. I mean, is anybody not horrible?
Well, Michelle from True Detective and Louie and Fargo and West Coast Project and everything else we've done. We're here to do the slap.
Okay.
And I'm Mike. And well, let's say what we're going to do. We're not going to do episodes of the slap. We're here to just pick it apart halfway through. And then we'll do a recap at the end if you have time.
Sure.
And we're more than halfway through. It's like only 8 episodes and we're through 6 or 7 of them. But we've been trying to get our schedules together. So I think we can do a pretty good mid-season review, right? Up to this point.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It's almost like somebody scans the networks for good TV shows like The Affair. Oh, and The Affair we did, Michelle and I. And they liked the POV concept, and so they recreated it, right? Like, here it is, recreated again for the slap. It's a POV allegory, pretty much a story by different people's points of view,
which has the I don't know, it really drew me in. I really thought this could be a great show. I thought it could be great the way they did that. And you know me, Mike, I really hate to just say, "Ooh, I didn't like that you know, you always say I'm too nice. This may be a hard podcast for me because I will definitely tell the truth on my feelings in it.
This is an interesting podcast for me because I wrote a couple notes during the Connie episode, the young girl Connie, because that made me think I really want to talk to Michelle about this girl Connie and this show.
Okay.
So I made a couple notes about that, but I have no other notes. Like, I didn't go back and rewatch and write notes, and that's kind of my podcast formula is watching everything twice, stopping the TV and taking notes, and I didn't do any of that. All I did is open a couple Wikipedia pages and and a couple notes from Connie. So I don't
know
if you did the same or
I honestly, I did. I did the same. I was not going to watch them all again. I wasn't going to do it. And I just took a few notes. I opened up a few pages. I like to read what other people are saying about it, not to form my opinion, but to see if my opinion is, you know, on par with other people's. And so I did read. I went to the Facebook page and read a lot of the comments there, and a lot of the other comments on some different sites and stuff, just to see what people were thinking about it, and took very few notes. So this is probably the least prepared, if we want to say that, I've ever been for a podcast as far as that goes. But
so it's good. It's like a podcasting experiment to see how we could wing it.
Okay.
Like, I think Adam Carolla, like, he doesn't sit up all night writing notes, right? He just does his show. He just thinks about, he might have a topic or two, but he just thinks about what he wants to say, and then he just kind of wings it. Or Howard Stern, you know, he doesn't read a bunch of notes.
Right.
But let's give a little history for The Slap. It's a 2008 novel, according to my Wikipedia page I have open, by an Australian author named somebody Greek, Christos Tsiolakis.
Oh, that's much better than I would have done, yeah.
Tsiolakis. It's got the TS and the LK together. Tsiolakis. Mm-hmm. Christos Tsiolakis. and some of the characters are different, Michelle. I don't know if you've looked into any of this, but like the mom, Aisha, is a veterinarian. She's not a doctor.
In the book or in the Australian television series of it?
In the novel.
Okay. Because, you know, there's both.
Yeah, maybe in this, I don't know much about the Australian television series.
Well, I don't either, but evidently we can find it and watch it, which I may do, but only because this is interesting to me. But it's supposed to be actually really good. And what they said they were playing on in the Australian television series is more on social class than they are in the American series. And they were saying how that made the show. And then we, you know, we redid it. It was redone as an American series. And for some reason, they didn't want to do that. And I don't know if it's not socially acceptable to do it or not PC to do it, or if they just wanted a different take on it. But the comments I was reading were saying that's where that, that's where we're falling flat versus their television series of it, which evidently people seem to really like, at least from the comments I read.
I think that's the way to watch it. That's the way to interpret it. Like, it's allegory. It's not a real story or real characters. It's allegory. It's like designed to put you in the what would I do if position.
Right.
Like, Is Harry going to get in trial and get in jail? Like, that's not really the point. It's like, it's allegory. Like, here's a little fable. What would you do if? It's designed to make you think.
Right.
And it's also very tribal, right? Like, that whole Greek family, and the Aisha isn't really part of the tribe, so she's kind of on the outs with all the parents and the, you know, it's very tribal, it seems like.
Yeah, I don't know if that's, I don't know, I kind of picture that a lot, though, don't you, in families like that? These really close-knit families, particularly with the patriarch and the matriarch. I don't know, these strong characters and stuff.
A lot of times it is, but a lot of times people just say, oh, we're, you know, Aisha, we're glad to have you in the, you're now you're part of the family. I don't think this family thinks that. I think they do isolate her and almost probably stir up trouble on purpose just to confirm that we're part of this tribe and you're not.
Oh, I don't think they do that. I didn't get that from it.
That whole trip to Greece?
Yeah, I did not take that way. I didn't take it that way.
The cooking, like, I'm bringing over food. She's like, please don't bring over food. And they bring over, like...
No, she didn't say that. That's the point. She didn't say that. Well, she didn't say anything to him.
She wanted that message to be conveyed. But she can't even tell them that because she's not close enough. She has to have the husband do it. And then he doesn't want to do it because he doesn't want to upset the mother. It's tribal, man. It's like you're not in this group. I don't know.
I don't know. I think she could have called them. Why couldn't she have called them or answered or whatever when they called?
That's a she good was, question.
Because she was saying how they called her and called her and or called and called and they wanted to know and he needed to let them know. And why couldn't she let them know? They're just doing...
She didn't feel like she could convey the message or she didn't want to.
Don't bring all the food. That's not that... I mean, that's not that much. Come on. Come on. You got... I don't know. I don't give her quite the pass that you do. I don't give this character quite that pass. She's been in the family a long time. She's had children, and I mean, well, she's the mother of their grandchildren.
There's probably a history of them doing this all the time, and she's like, oh, God, again, I'm just trying to hold a birthday party. Please don't have them do what they always do, bring in all the food and take
the control. But somebody's got to tell them. I mean, all you got to do is maybe not. Now, if they had... ask them not to, and then they had, then you and I would be on the same page with it. But they didn't. It's very, it feels very passive aggressive to me.
Oh, definitely.
I'm just going to let it go, and then when they do something wrong, I'm going to complain about them.
Yeah.
And I don't like that at all.
Well, let's continue down this list. So she's a veterinarian, not a doctor, or okay. People doctor. A veterinarian's a doctor, right? What do you call it? A physician. She's not a physician.
Okay.
An Australian version. And they say that Richie is gay in the Australian story. He may be gay in this one, too, because he seems interested in Connie, but he's definitely been friend-zoned by Connie.
Right.
But I don't know if it's clear that he's gay.
No, I don't know.
And then there's a couple other people. There's a couple of business partners and other people that I don't recognize from the American story, but...
But what would it matter if Richie were gay in this?
Doesn't matter. I'm just pointing out some of the things. Okay. They make that statement in his description in the description.
Oh, okay.
Like he's the gay friend of Connie.
Okay, I thought it might have some bearing on the story or something. So, okay.
And also there's a sister of Hector... that I don't think we've seen in this one.
Sarsgaard's
doesn't have a sister that I know.
No, not that I know of.
So that's just a little history of the Australian one. So let's quickly go through these, Michelle. So episode one is Hector. And of course, if you're listening to this, you've probably heard of... although I've had this disturbing section of comments from people who don't watch the shows, but listen to the podcasts. And I have no idea why. I think always, well, of course, you've watched the show if you're listening to this podcast. But some people listen to podcasts and they don't watch the shows.
For a specific show or?
A couple.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
Like The Affair.
Really?
Yeah. Never watched that show, but I liked hearing you guys talking about it. It's like, why?
Oh, that's great, though. I mean, let them listen. I love it, but okay.
So anyway, Hector's number, episode one. This is only an 8-episode run, too, so we're through 6 of them.
But, yeah, and it's actually a mini-series. Did you get that? I mean, I think when this is over, it's just over. I don't think there's supposed to even be anything else. Is that right?
Yeah, thank God. But it's his 40th birthday, and the problems we just described happen, like... his wife is Aisha, and she wants to have a party, and she's getting the food ready and kind of setting it up for her husband. It's her husband's party, but the...
Yeah, but Hector doesn't even want the party.
Yeah, I know.
He didn't want to do this. And don't you have to respect a little bit about what somebody wants?
I do.
In a situation like that?
Some people think it's party time, and I get to run the party, and, you know, they have their own motivations.
But they're married. I mean, they're married. You respect the fact that the person doesn't like that. Like my husband, he does not like surprises. He doesn't like having a deal made over his birthday. He doesn't like that. And so I don't do it. And I don't do it not because I'm lazy or I don't want to do it or I don't think it'd be fun. I don't do it because he really doesn't want that to happen. And I don't understand this when she is doing this when he doesn't even want it. He wants to spend time with her, and she's too busy planning and executing the stuff necessary for the party to even lie in bed with.
Right. There is some passive aggressiveness sometimes there with people too, like, oh, I don't want a party, and secretly they do, and they'd be disappointed if you didn't throw them a big party.
That was unexpected. That knocked me down from my high horse, my soapbox.
All right, you were talking about the party and how...
I was talking about, trust me, I was way up on that soapbox. I was saying how he didn't want it, and he wanted to spend some time with her in the bed that morning, and she insisted on getting up. I mean, she had to.
Was Mike out in the garage by the fuse box with the main switch?
No, why would he do that?
Because you were talking about him not wanting a party, and you wanted to have a party.
Yeah, that might have been. He's like, I do want a party. I do. No, trust me, he doesn't want a party. No, but she, I think that's what it comes down to. It with my problem with Aisha is that she doesn't seem to have the kind of respect for other people that I think she should. Because I feel like people are very respectful to her, and I just don't see her doing that, like not calling the in-laws back about bringing stuff to the party and not respecting Harry's wishes about the party.
Yeah, and I'll defend Aisha's a little bit in this particular instance, because sometimes, first of all, 40 is a pretty big birthday, so that I'll give her that. And also, sometimes people are passive aggressive, like, oh, don't give me a party, I don't want anything, and they secretly do want one, and if you don't give them the party, they're like upset.
I completely agree, but not somebody, you know that about a person that you're married to.
You should.
And he's just not wanting this party. You know he's not.
So anyway, they have this party in first episode. Everybody comes. We meet the mom and dad of Hugo, and little Hugo's like using the old antique record collection for frisbees and
throwing the iPad,
throwing that shit around and breaking shit and
throwing the vinyl records. And these records they've shown are such a, they're part of Harry's or Hector's relaxation.
Yeah, he's into jazz, and they're probably really valuable, hard to get records. So, of course, he's little Hugo's discing him around like frisbees and just totally reckless, totally undisciplined little brat of a kid. And we meet his parents. Now, Jessica, what's her name, is from the Australian show. The mom,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rosie.
Yeah, that's fun. Mm-hmm.
And the dad, in the Wikipedia for the Australian show, they call the dad an alcoholic, Gary. And he looks like kind of alcoholic-y here in this one. He's always drinking. And actually, Harry makes kind of a comment on that.
Well, yeah. Yeah, they were talking about him drinking on a couple of different occasions. And he was in it pretty hard, it seemed like, even at the party. So I don't think that's a big stretch.
And we meet the flirty little Connie, and her little boyfriend comes with a camera to the party. It's a big party. Everybody they all know from every direction comes, right?
Right.
And Harry and Hector are cousins. Harry's the slapper. So there's a little conflict, and Hugo gets a chance at baseball, and he swings the bat. He strikes out. He keeps swinging the bat at the other kids, and Harry runs up and slaps him. So, Michelle, what'd you think of this slap?
Well, I thought it was rough. I thought it was uncalled for.
It's definitely wrong. I don't think anyone disagrees that it's wrong. We joke about.
Oh, some people disagree.
Well, we joke around that you should have slapped him harder, but you can't slap. The kid's a freaking little 3-year-old, little 2-foot-tall kid, and he's a big hulking dude. The kid kicks him, so he's got to. I mean, you hug the kid or something, right, so he doesn't swing the bat and hurt people, or you just say, hey, Gary, get down here. you can't hit the kid.
Well, he yanked the bat, I think, if I remember it right, away from Hugo and kind of threw it. And then he grabs Hugo by the shoulders, and he's, like, talking to him, and, you know, he's not shaking him, but giving a little shake as he's, like, to emphasize his words, it looked like. And Hugo, being Hugo, kicks him, and then he slaps him. So there was no immediate danger from the bat. And we also need to say that the other kids were playing with a wiffle ball bat, and Hugo wanted to play with like a real bat. So Hugo, even though he's little, he's swinging this real bat around at these kids because he's angry and because he has
spoiled.
He's spoiled. But I think it's even beyond spoiled. And can we just pause for 1 second and say that kid is great? I mean, does he play this part like perfectly or what? And I actually read this little thing that was saying how much they kept this actor out of a lot of this adult scene so as not to, because they said, how do you do this with this actor, with this little child actor, and not really mess him up? And they were talking about all the different ways that they did, and of course, the child was never really slapped, and all the different ways that the camera angles and all that kind of stuff. It was really interesting to me, that part was. But I just think he plays this part perfectly. The kid does. I completely buy it.
The actor on Conan, his name is Zachary Quinto, by the way. Zachary Quinto is Harry. Mm-hmm. He was on Star Trek, and he was Spock on Star Trek, so he had the little hand thing. So the kid knew him from Star Trek, so the kid was kind of in awe of him being Spock. So on Conan, he says he kind of bonded with the kid before that, too, to kind of like, ooh, a movie star, ooh, Mr. Spock. So they were friendly before he just walks up and fake slaps him in the scene. So they got close that way, too.
Well, that's good, and I like how they did all that, and I like how they talked about that with the kid, because honestly, it's a little traumatizing to watch.
Yeah, the kid, I mean, Harry doesn't save anybody from this kid, right? The other kids are away from him. He's the littlest kid. He's swinging the bat, but so what? He gets the bat.
But not at that point, he wasn't.
He gets the bat away from him, and then he does shake him. Shaking him was borderline wrong, too.
Well, sure.
But, he slaps the kid, and then everything else ensues. So and by the way, the mom is like breastfeeding this 3 or 4 year old kid still in front of everybody at the party, and everywhere else she goes with him.
Yeah, I mean,
who is the veil lady from Game of Thrones? Ilsa, Lady Ilsa.
That kid was like 10, I think. That's a little, I don't know.
A little worse.
That's a whole lot worse.
Yeah. And his parents are hippy dippy, kind of. His dad's like a teacher at the new school, and his mom's like, we're always wearing flowing kimono type hippie dresses. And
well, and they do show the class too. I think we should also say that, because Harry drives up in a nice car, and you know, he's got the nice home we see eventually and all this kind of stuff. And then you see Rosie and Gary, who are Hugo's parents, and they're living like in a, it's a completely different socioeconomic class, if nothing else. So
yeah,
they do show it, they just don't focus on it very much.
Yeah, they're the lowest of the people that we know. Because like even Hector and Aisha have kind of a nice house. He's like a political commissioner of some sort. They have kind of a nice place. So that's it. Then we kind of get left with this thought. Okay, wow, that was kind of weird. What do I think? I wonder what's going to happen. It kind of got me to come back to episode 2. I mean, it kind of left me interested.
Mm-hmm.
So episode 2 is Harry now, Harry's version. And Harry goes to, Harry's the slapper. He goes to, everybody's trying to figure out what to do with him, first of all. And they all kind of strategize. And one of the strategies is that Hector will have Harry go over and apologize and kind of defuse it. But when he does that, he either blows it or what's her name?
Rosie.
Rosie goads him into blowing it, but the apology goes south pretty quickly.
Yeah. Harry didn't want to apologize to begin with, and it would have been easier and quicker, the show would have ended sooner if he had just apologized and everything would have been okay. Although, you know, in a situation like that, everything's not going to be okay. But, yeah, Rosie wasn't going to have it. She is like, you know, she wants Harry to then apologize to Hugo, which I don't think is actually such a horrible thing. But just her venom Gary, her husband, she's the one pushing this, you can tell. And Gary, although, of course, he doesn't want anybody to slap his kid, Rosie's the one pushing it legally. And I'm not real sure I understand all that. But we do see in this Harry episode, in the first episode, it just gave us like an overview. I know it was showing us about Hector, you know, it was Hector's kind of story, but it did show like a broad overview of everybody else. In Harry's specific story, we see Harry's flaws. And, well, we saw Hector's flaws in the Hector episode too, but we really do see Harry as not being a really in control person.
Yeah, we're going to see all of their flaws. They all have pretty serious flaws. But yeah, I mean, the whole apology thing has no chance, I think, because Rosie doesn't want money out of him. She just doesn't want an apology either. She just wants to be mad. She wants to stay mad, I think. I don't think there's a forgiveness for this. It's just a sin that's been committed, and it's just going to lay there forever, according to Rosie. But she just says, yeah, like you said, Michelle, you're apologizing to us. And that wasn't even an apology. Also talk to Hugo so that you can tell his face gets tense. He gets a little more tense all whole way through this. And, eventually she asks if he's ever hit his wife.
Well, she doesn't ask it. She accuses him. I mean, venomously, like spitting and accusing, you know? I mean, she doesn't go, by the way, do you ever hit your wife? Gary, and that's not the first time she's asked him either.
Yeah, Gary did that in the first episode, didn't he? Somebody did. Maybe.
Yeah,
her.
Somebody did. I thought it was her, but it could have been Gary. But yeah, this is like, plus, you know, we find out that he actually has.
Yeah.
So
that's where that came from, because they all must know about that.
I don't think they do. No, I don't think they know about it.
Well,
no, she just assumes. I mean, she's calling him like a child beater and stuff like that. How much of that could a person who has a lot of decorum, whatever, self-control, listen to without becoming severely offended? But the fact that a portion of it, not the child part, except for this, but the, you know, about the wife beater is true. So
yeah, we saw that in just this last episode. Sandy is the wife, and she came pulling up to Aisha's with a pretty beat up face.
Yeah, so and we've heard
maybe
about
at the
it
time they saw that. Maybe at the time they all saw her face.
Mm-mm. No, nobody knew about that. I don't think. I think they made it a point that nobody knew. That's why Sandy came to Aisha's home in place of going anywhere else. You know, if Rosie knew about that, she would absolutely say something. And I can't see Aisha breaking that trust with Sandy to tell Rosie even. Yeah. I could be wrong, though.
Well, the apology goes south, and is this the one where we see Harry's auto dealership where the guy took the money and he was going to pay it back? And
I don't know if I remember that.
Harry's employee sold something for more money than he told Harry about and gave Harry less money, and Harry found out about it and said, I'm not going to fire you, but this is coming out of your pay until it's paid back.
Oh, I thought that. Yeah. That was I think it was this one. Yeah, because, see, they make us like Harry a little bit, and then they show horrible things.
Yeah, he pushes his son really super hard in a basketball game, and then he has an affair with some lady at his business.
Well, right. And then he comes toward his wife. He's so angry, and she cowers from him. It was just a really ugly side, but then there's things about him to like as well, just like there is with Hector.
But yeah, it's easier to like Hector than Harry, though. Harry does look pretty bad.
I don't know. I don't know if it is or not. Maybe. Yeah, I guess a little. I don't know. Hector's that under the carpet stuff, that, you know, sneaking around and holding the babysitter's hand at his 40th birthday. I mean, really? Underneath the deck that your wife is sitting on? Yeah. I don't know. That's it's distasteful.
Well, that was That was episode two, Harry's point of view. And that was actually directed by Ken Olin. Remember him? 30-something.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that.
That was like an 80s show, long time ago.
I didn't recognize the name, though. That's the redheaded guy, right? Ken Olin?
He's the director, so we didn't see him.
No, but the guy on 30-something.
No, I think he's the tall, darker-haired guy.
Oh, okay. That's neat. Okay. I loved that show back then.
So the third episode is Anouk. Anouk is, what's her name?
Uma Thurman.
Uma Thurman. And Uma Thurman's really getting old, man. She's lost that Hollywood glossy actress from Tarantino movies. Anouk. Her name's Anouk. And she's like a really good friend of Aisha.
I think she's like slated to be a good friend of Harry, though.
Is she?
Right? I think so. I'll double check that while we're talking, but that's what I thought.
She has a boyfriend that she had brought to this party, a super younger guy that's an actor, band, kind of an artist.
He's in a band, yeah. Jamie. His name's Jamie.
But he's in a play, too, so he's kind of an artist-y actor, musician.
Okay. Anouk is Hector's childhood friend and executive producer of a TV series.
Okay.
And I don't really see the point of her in this, although I love Uma Thurman, you know, but I don't see the point of that character in this so far. Do you?
Yeah, well, we get the mother-daughter perspective from her. She's kind of estranged from her mother, and eventually she learns that when her father died, her mother didn't want her to live with her, and she finds this out.
Yeah, when they divorced, her mother didn't want her. And that's why she ended up with her father. And then her father died, and she goes back to her mother, I think is how it happened. And so she has a lot of feelings about that, like I guess you would.
And her mother's like an educator. She's a college professor of some sort. Mm-hmm. And she's moving to Scotland, but she doesn't know why until she eventually figures out that she has cancer, and she's going to Scotland for this treatment.
Right.
And she also figures out that she's pregnant. Anouk is pregnant by this young guy, Jamie. And she breaks up with him, right? Because she doesn't want to have... She's She's like afraid of the relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I just didn't get any of that. I didn't get it. I can see her relationship with him, and that's all well and good. And she's talking about it the whole time like it's a, you know, just a plaything, sort of. But she obviously has feelings for this guy, and then she ends up pregnant. And how old is Uma Thurman? I mean, are we supposed to believe that this pregnancy just happened? I mean, I know it's possible, obviously, but I don't know.
I think the youngest she could be is like mid-40s. She's got to be 40-something at least.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of up there to have an accident. It's possible, certainly, but I don't know. It's just not real buyable to me. It was hard to buy.
So I'm putting Anouk on Team Rosie, right? She doesn't want to. This whole time, they're looking for how to divide up and find somebody who'll stand up to be Harry's kind of witness for all this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm putting Anouk on the other side. I think she's on Team Rosie. Like, she doesn't like what he did, and she's on Rosie's side.
Yeah, but she's real. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with you, because she's Hector's childhood friend, and she tries to talk, and not in this episode. Well, yeah, I mean, I think even in her episode, she tries to talk Rosie out of doing this, out of pressing charges, and she does it more than once. So I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I just don't know how to feel about her. I know that Harry goes to her and he tries to talk to her and wants her on to testify for him, because that's what the attorney says he needs. And she says she's not going to do it. Okay. Another big issue that I have with this whole thing. You're talking about like the tribe mentality of this family, which I agree with. They are showing it where they're having such a hard time getting people to come down on the family side, on Harry's side. Do you think that would be in this family that is so close,
Well, they need a non-family member to testify. That's
yeah, I know. But even Hector didn't come down on his side.
Well, he did. He's pretty guilty. I mean, he did the wrong thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. But does that matter in a situation like this? Because they were talking about the mom. What's her name? She's the Manolis wife.
Oh yeah.
The mother-in-law. They were saying in one of the episodes, they were saying, no matter what happened, you would take up for him. And she's like, oh, he, you know, whatever. This someone needed to do something. Whatever. I mean, she takes up for. She has that tribe mentality that you're talking about, that family protectiveness, togetherness. And so I think they're showing us that in a lot of ways. But then in this one way, it feels like a disconnect to me. I would think, and I would buy it a whole lot more if everybody immediately picked a side because it's family and stuck or not and stuck to that. This wishy-washy, you know, where Hector's got to be talked into this, talked into siding with Harry.
I don't know. I kind of like it. I think because it's complicated and gray area, that's what makes it interesting.
It does, and I agree with you, but I just don't think it follows the trail of what they're showing us about the family.
Well, the other thing that's powerful with Anouk is she's seen the young girl Connie with Hector at the party. She's really the only one who kind of caught them.
Well, Richie.
Yeah, Richie has a picture of it, but Richie doesn't have any power in this, right? Anouk does.
What's her power?
Because she knows that she's trusted and she's friends with everybody. I guess,
well,
Richie's
she goes
photo
to Hector.
Is powerful, but...
Well, yeah, I would think that's pretty powerful. But she goes to Hector, remember, and she tells him.
Yeah.
She doesn't say that I remember specifically. She doesn't say, I saw you do this, but she does make him know that she did see.
Yeah. I don't know. Anouk's kind of fills the role of, like, she's going to have a baby. She doesn't want the relationship. She's going to get rid of the baby. And then she's her problems with her mother. It's kind of another familial angle on looking at this.
Well, and I think, yeah, but I don't know that it's, it just feels like a separate little leg of it that doesn't really connect well with me. And I think, too, that they're showing Anouk in this as being, I think that's what kind of the disconnect for me is, more so than Uma Thurman's actual age, is that they're acting like she's this older woman with this younger guy. So you just don't picture accidental pregnancies in situations like that, in the cougar type situations. So it just, the whole thing just doesn't mesh well with the rest of the story to me, but.
Yeah. Well, the reason I thought she was on Rosie's side is because there's one point Harry goes to her at work while she's filming something and just says, hey, you're on my side, right? And she says no. So maybe you're right. She is kind of, she's Switzerland. She's not on Rosie or Harry. She's kind of neutral.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how she actually feels. I mean, I think everybody feels like it's wrong. All of them do. But yeah, I can't figure it out either. I'm just not sure.
Not Manolis, and he's next, episode 4. Slap that damn kid. Manolis is the patriarchal granddad of grandfather, father of Harry.
I really like this episode. Yes.
Uncle of Harry.
Right.
And I don't know his wife's name either, but he gives Harry, he finds out Hector's has the affair, and he gives him the advice. Well, that's okay. That's what guys do. Just be true. You can't restrict yourself. You got to be your real self. Be a man.
He's
old school Greek, like man rules the roost.
Well, he is, but he also is a little bit afraid of his wife, I think, too, you know.
Yeah.
At the same time, which is kind of funny.
So I don't know if it's in his episode, but I'm just going to say it is. Doesn't he get the lawyer, the big family lawyer, or was that in the last episode?
No, that's him. He gets this big attorney that's evidently known to win things, maybe a little even, underhand. I mean, you can't win things underhanded necessarily, but he doesn't pull any punches, so to speak. He's yeah.
But didn't he just do that in this last?
No.
He did that two or three episodes ago in his
episode. That was in his episode, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, he's this big lawyer, big shot lawyer. I think he did it in the last episode, Michelle, but because I have a recap of that. But let's just say he's the patriarch of the family, and he's getting down to the brass tacks. Like, we got to find – they don't have a case against Harry unless they find out if he has any other type of history of violence or something. So they got to prevent that from being found out.
Well, yeah, that actually was in the last episode, but don't you remember they were having lunch with this lawyer, and then it kind of gets ripped out of his hands, Manolis's hands, because, of course, Harry loves this attorney, because this attorney's like, we're going to go after him with everything, and blah, 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 and he's hearing this different thing than he's hearing from his friend attorney, and so Manolis is like, well, I don't know if we need to do all that. You know, maybe we need to scale this back a little bit. But they are running with it. Harry and this attorney are. And Hector is kind of, he didn't like this either. And so everybody leaves this luncheon. And then Manolis is sitting there. And then this is when he ends up going to visit his friend who's dying, who he hadn't been to see yet.
Yeah.
So that's when they were introduced. Of course, we see it more and more as it goes on. But that was when Harry was introduced to the attorney.
And this is also the one where Manolis asks Harry about, had you ever really hit your wife before? And Harry says, no, I might have grabbed her and bruised her, but I didn't hit her. But so that's a lie. He has hit her. So he lies to his uncle Manolis about this.
Yeah, he comes out of the restaurant and he starts having chest pain after this. So he goes to see Aisha and he's talking with Aisha. And this is where Aisha tells him that what
she
had
treated
happened.
Sandy. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That night. And so then he doesn't go straight to him, but he goes to see Harry at his work. And they have that conversation about it. And Harry is like, swearing that he didn't do that. And Manolis is telling him, look, we come to this country. All we wanted was a chance for our children and, you know, and that y'all grow up to be good people. That's what's important to us. I really liked this episode and I liked where he went to visit the friend. I liked how hard it was. No, I didn't like how hard it was. I liked that they showed how hard it was to visit a friend like that and see them in that kind of situation, that kind of near-death situation. I liked how they connected with it. I don't know if you noticed or not, but the friend that he went to visit that was dying at the foot of his bed, it was the Breaking Bad Afghan that they had on the couch the whole time. And if it wasn't that exact one, it was one very, because you know, I've made a couple of them, and that Afghan was at the bottom of the bed and you never see that. So I thought that was,
Michelle,
don't know if that was,
you may be the only watcher in the North America that noticed that Afghan.
And go back and look, you'll see.
Compared to Breaking Bad. No, that's
go
good.
Back and look, you'll see. I promise. It's that same. It may be the actual Afghan, and I didn't know if they were doing that. Surely that was unintentional. I don't know what that would have to do with Breaking Bad.
It's NBC.
No, it's NBC. No, but it is. Look at it. You'll see. And it's an odd Afghan. It really is.
They go to the prop department and they're in the Afghan room. There's only one Afghan in
maybe
all of Hollywood.
Maybe.
All right. Well, that's Manolis and now Connie. So Connie was the spark that lit under me to get this, to have you do this podcast with me.
Okay.
So Connie's the little girl. She's the babysitter. She's probably what, 17 or 18?
Yeah, I can't figure it out. I'm not sure. I think she's 18.
She's in high school.
I'm in my mind, at least, what he's doing is not criminal. I think I've heard at one point that she was 18, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. Connie's dangerous, man. As a dude, as a guy, she's she's scary because she's sort of irresistible. Like it's easy to see. Well, I shouldn't say that, but it's sort of easy to see at the slippery slope that Hector slipped down here to fall for this cute girl, Connie. She's cute and she's really smart and she's really kind of, she knows him, right? And she listens to him. She admires him. She fuels all these things that he's not getting from Aisha.
Yeah, I don't understand that. This may be a guy-girl thing, because how on earth he could feel any way romantically toward her is beyond me. She's much closer to his daughter's age or his son's age than she is his age. And I understand that he's got the issues at home and all that, but this is I don't know.
Well, her side of it's really interesting too, because they show her father and how she had the relationship with her father. And how she's very clearly trying to replace her father with this guy, Hector, right? She essentially loses her father, and Hector can be the father figure that she needs. So it's easy to see her side of it. I guess it's more tricky with Hector, because Hector's got the beautiful wife and the beautiful family, and you're right, it does seem insane that he would mess that up. But she puts him up on an idol. She idolizes him, and that's why he kind of falls for her, I think.
Well, absolutely, but as a grown man, as a mature person, you've got to be able to separate that. I don't know, I expect more out of him. You have to be able to separate that kind of, okay, this girl finds me fascinating because I'm older and I've got my, you know, got my life together, from this could actually be something. And I don't know that he ever actually feels like that, but I have a hard time with the Connie thing. And yes, she is dangerous. Yes, it is. It's very dangerous. And I don't know, of course, I haven't read the book and I haven't seen the Australian series and I don't know where it's going to go, but did you see the one that came on last night?
Yes.
Yes. She is very dangerous, I think.
So she's dangerous to Harry because she's definitely on Team Rosie. And she also can wreck the whole marriage of Hector and Aisha.
And she's totally willing to do it.
Yeah, she's scorned now. So she's loaded for bear.
Yeah, she, and I really felt like the way they portrayed it last night was she is doing it because, like you said, because she's scorned. I think if he were having a relationship with her, then he would have more influence over her to maybe not do that. She is, her friend Richie got the pictures, right? So there's pictures of both her and Hector together holding hands. Somebody said they kissed, but they didn't kiss there. They kissed in the car. I don't think they were kissing underneath the deck. It was still just as bad. But anyway, pictures of her and Hector under the deck at his birthday party with everybody around in a very intimate situation. But he also got pictures of the slap.
Of the slap without the bat being there.
Right, which is what Harry is saying happened, and of course it didn't happen that way, we all know that, but there's video evidence of it, but to show that they're acting like we're gonna have to show the whole roll of tape, which I don't think is maybe necessarily true, but I think that's what's gonna come out. Why couldn't Richie just delete those pictures of her and Hector but keep the other pictures? Is there some reason why he couldn't do that?
Maybe he's kind of an artist too, and maybe, I don't know, they're his pictures, right?
No, I'm just saying legally, would there be some reason why he would have to show everything if he's going to show any? Okay, well, I didn't know. I didn't know how that would work. But she was totally willing to throw Harry under the bus once Hector cut things off with her once Hector hurt her feelings.
Well, she's kind of throwing Richie under the bus, too, by just admitting that Richie has these pictures, and now Richie's in the middle of it. And that gets him really angry in this, in the next episode, the one that aired last night.
Right.
Richie, it's sad, because Richie's the best thing that this girl has in her life, and she doesn't even know it. Like, she's stupidly going after Hector, and Richie's, if he's not gay, could be a good little boyfriend for her.
Oh, well, yeah, but that's not, you know, Mike, that's not how people get together. It's not what's best for me. It's, you know, that's, it just doesn't work like that. Well, but I agree.
I still don't know why I like this show. It's so dumb and obvious, and I shouldn't like it, but it gets smart every now and then.
It does. And they give you, like, these little nuggets of wisdom, like from Manolis, and these little glimmers of really nice things in these people that are so fundamentally flawed that it keeps me coming back to.
Yeah. The other little twist is Connie works for Aisha and has to leave the job because she can't be around Aisha and Hector anymore. She makes up an excuse, like she's going to college and she has too much other, she has to commit time to other things. But that was the other little twist for Connie.
Yeah. How is Connie even wrapping her mind around this? Because she does work for Aisha. She tells Aisha, I think, that she loves her. And I think she does. But she's doing this?
Yep. I don't know. So that was episode 5. Now episode 6 just happened. So we're calling this our midway through. But we know all the way through episode 6, and there's only 8. So, and episode 6 is Aisha. And there's a cool little flashback in the beginning where she takes out the trash and she kind of stands on the street. It looks real. It looks like it's real time. But cab pulls up, speeding up to the curb, and Sandy gets out with her face all beat up and like, oh, please help me. And Sandy's Harry's wife, who had just been beat up by Harry. So we know that's all true, that he does abuse her.
Right. And it was rough. It wasn't just, you know, a little thing like he had said it was, you know, like maybe he got a little aggressive and there could have been some injury or something. This was bad.
So it's a memory, though. The Entertainment TV said this was a flashback of 7 years ago. So that kind of frames the time frame okay. for us. 7 years ago. Just a memory, though. She goes, it kind of fades away, and she goes back inside. So she's thinking about it. I mean, that's going to have to play a big part of this solution. And this is where, this episode is where they meet the big-time lawyer that Manulis knows, this thin-assist guy.
Another no, drink. We've seen him before.
Well, he's really in play now because the dopey lawyer that Harry knew, where he had lunch and they're drinking at lunch, and he's kind of out of the picture.
Yeah.
But the big-time lawyer wants to do like a whole media campaign, and we got to do a press release of you being kind to children, not hitting children. And there's some sharpshooter chick who's running the media press campaign, and they're really putting some resources into this now because it looks like he's going to be in big trouble.
Well, yeah, he definitely stands to be in big trouble with it, I think. And so he now has this law firm power behind him but they're out to destroy Rosie. What do you think about that?
If it's the jungle, man, I would do anything I could do to save myself, to help myself. Because Rosie's a bitch, man. She shouldn't have had to see her kid get hit, but the kid's not damaged for life. He's going to be damaged for life if she keeps pushing this and keeps throwing it all under the flames on the, you know, fuel on the fire.
Well, this and everything else. Can you imagine everything else in this kid's life if this is being treated this way? So, yeah, I agree with that.
I can't even call her a bitch because she just doesn't know better. This is all she knows. Like, oh, my baby. It's so wrong. I've been so wrong. But that kid's going to grow up with such a complex of, this is not in my favor. I'm just going to cringe and curl up. You know, he needs to face some hardship.
He's 3.
I know, but come on. He strikes out and he doesn't let the next kid take his turn. That's a lesson that you have to learn in life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was just funny the way you put that. You know, grow up, kid. No, but I wouldn't call her a bitch. I think they called her damaged or something in one of them, and I think that's probably closer to it. But I don't think any of us can agree with her parenting and the way she's parenting Hugo. But it really does bring up this moral kind of dilemma. For example, would you lie for Harry? I mean, this is family. And if you agree.
Yeah, I would probably lie for a brother.
Because that's what it brings up in this Aisha episode.
But they're cousins, you know? So I don't know. They're cousins.
They're cousins, but that their father's their family's immigrated together, and they are close. They are like brothers.
But I mean, if you knew your brother? What if you knew your brother beat up his wife, and you had to lie for him?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's the point. That's what I'm saying. Would you lie for somebody like that? I think it brings up a lot of moral issues. I would not lie for somebody because I don't think you do anybody any favors when you lie for them. But I do think it brings up a whole lot of moral conflict because I would want to, because the kid was so awful and something needed to happen with the kid. Not that, but something needed to happen. And so somebody did something. The kid's out there pulling up perennial flowers. I mean, he's like pulling up these flowers. I mean, he's just awful. He's in one thing and another thing, and he's destructive
and they're just
and dangerous.
Him. Oh, well. Right. Well, his kid's having fun.
Right. Well,
yeah,
right.
They're horrible parents for sure.
So.
Well, Aisha's important in this context of the story because the PR person and the lawyer, the big shot lawyer and PR lady, say we need an upstanding citizen to stand up that's not in the family, like the tribe part of the family, and that's essentially Aisha, right? She's right. A doctor. Everybody loves her. And so they put
Uma
her...
Uma Thurman, too. Uma Thurman would count for that, right?
Yeah. But she's not going to do it.
Right.
And we still don't know if Aisha's going to do it. She doesn't want to do it. But, yeah, so they're putting Rosie and Gary on the same, you know, this lawyer and this PR. They're going to ruin them to win this case, so... It's tricky, man. It's hard to say, yeah, I'd ruin them to defend myself. What else can he do? He's going to go to jail and take his medicine?
Well, see, I mean, that's it. What would you do in a situation like that? Because these people are out to destroy Rosie and Gary. I mean, they want psychological evaluations on the kids. They want their parenting done. Remember in this one, they've got the photographer standing outside the playground watching Hugo being horrible to some other little kid on the playground making pictures of it. They are really going after them, and they're acting like they're going to really go after them. And I think that in some of the upcoming episodes, we're going to see that it really affects them from what I could tell. But what do you do? I mean, because he did try, albeit, you know, half-heartedly, to defuse the situation. And he's a hothead, and he still went there, and he tried to stop it. Harry did. And Rosie wasn't having any of it. She's like, you know, I'll, you know... And she had even told the kid, do you remember that? Hugo sitting there and he goes, you're the bad man. You're the one who's going to go to jail. You know, I mean, she has like even told this child this.
Yeah, it's a situation of like a whole thing that's spun way out of control. He doesn't deserve to go to jail. Poor little Hugo doesn't deserve to have his life ruined like she's going to say it is. So they've spun it way up and beyond what it needs to be. So it gets a little more complicated because Richie's also kind of their friend, and he's like a student of Gary's, or Gary likes his photography, and he's a photographer. He's an art teacher. So he's showing him his pictures, and Rosie pops herself down in the middle of that and says, okay, we want to see the pictures of Hugo. We heard you have pictures of this slap. So she throws Richie right in the middle of it, and Gary gets mad at her for that. So...
She's ugly to Gary. I mean, she has nobody else. And Rosie turns around and she just like venomously turns on her husband.
Yeah, so Gary accuses her of, you're throwing another kid into this mess now. And so he's got his doubts about how far this really should go. I don't know. I don't like Rosie very much at all in this. And I don't like, for some reason, I don't like Anouk. But,
I don't either. I don't either. I don't see the point of her. I don't get the connect with her. Or the whole, it was not a bad story. Her storyline was actually pretty interesting, but I just don't see the connection with the rest of it. Maybe they'll wrap it in there somehow. I agree. Don't like Connie. You know, the only one that I like, and there's things to dislike, certainly, is Manolis.
Yeah. Yeah, Manolis is cool. So this one kind of ends. We see Aisha. This one was interesting because Aisha has an affair almost with a guy that she used to know from the past when she was a medical student at a conference. She gets away from this whole mess by going to a conference in Boston. From, I think they live in Brooklyn or New York. So she goes to Boston, meets this old dude. He's like, or this old friend. He's a handsome kind of young dude. And they kind of flirt around and they end up back in her room and she finds his wedding ring and she leaves while he's in the bathroom. So she shuts it off. But Hector comes to pick her up because he's been given this advice by his dad that if you have an affair, you kind of owe it to your wife to tell her. Now, what do you think about that, Michelle? That's pretty selfish of the guy, of Hector, who has the affair to have to unload this burden by telling Aisha, I think.
I completely agree. And he didn't even have an affair. I mean, he had an emotional affair. He didn't have an affair. He kissed her. It was an emotional, it was a betrayal, certainly because Connie worked for Aisha and worked for them and babysat their children and stuff. So it was a horrible, horrible thing.
It's always the babysitter, though.
Yeah. But why? Why would he go up there to tell her this? And so I hated that because you're right. It was like, let me get this off my conscience so I feel better, and then you have to deal with it.
He literally picks her up at the hotel that she's at the conference and kind of crosses paths with her and the dude, the young dude, the old boyfriend.
Right. But she is so offended after what she just did.
Right.
And she just like gets on this, you know, moral high ground and everything. And look at what she just did. At least Hector, and I can't even believe I'm saying this, has some kind of an emotional connection with the person that he started to have this affair with.
Come on, she listens to jazz in his car with him. That's a bonding moment, Michelle.
That's what I just said. I mean, he has this emotional connection. Yeah, but he does. He is at least getting, it's just like you said earlier, he's at least getting fed on some level from Connie that he's not from Aisha. So you can at least see that. Aisha is just like, screw it, and goes and does this.
You're hard on Aisha. Aisha is like standing alone against this tribe of mad Greeks.
And she's
Greeks. Like, I got to get out of freaking town here for a day or two to get away from this crazy mad Greek tribe that's after
me. She married that.
I know, but still, nonetheless.
It's not like she was kidnapped by the tribe or something.
Did you
like
ever see 300, Michelle? Those Greeks can fight. Just saying. All right, So Hector confesses to her about Connie and the little mini affair with the babysitter. They ride a little further in the car. She says, pull over. Then she confesses to him about her little dalliance with this dude. Right?
Well, yeah, but explain to me why she would do that.
Same different. Well, he texts her and something snaps in her head like, ooh, maybe I better come clean too.
She did it in retaliation. She's like, you hurt me, dude. Let me tell you what I
maybe
just don't understand.
But I think it also cleanses. It helps her get it out of her guilt zone.
Yeah, but that's what we were just saying about him that we didn't like.
But there's retaliation just like spiteful, and there's retaliation, and then there's just like to make her feel better. And I think that's mostly what she's doing here.
I just don't think she likes Hector very much.
Well, they get she next day or whatever, she comes home from work and sees the family, her family, and doesn't even want to go into them.
Yeah, and explain that to me. I mean, that's not just Hector. That's Hector and her children.
I can't because the scene ended there.
Oh, can't explain okay. It. Well, we also have to point out right here, too, though, that Sandy came to visit her at her clinic and told her that she was not going to be asked to testify because she had told the, I think she said she had told the attorneys. I couldn't figure out who she actually said she told, but had told about what Harry had done to her.
Right.
And that she had known about it. So that she was not going to be asked to testify as a character witness on Harry's behalf.
It would be too dangerous to the case if she got cross-examined and had to say.
Right.
Yep. So that's how it ends. And that's where we are, Michelle. There's two episodes left, Rosie and Richie. Rosie's next, then Richie. Richie's got to be the big reveal, right?
Maybe. Yeah, I guess. I don't see how. Do you?
Well, he's got the pictures. What else could Richie... I mean, he's such a minor character. That's all he's got. That's the only reason he's important.
Yeah, and, you know, he's been in a lot of these episodes, but he's almost forgettable at this point. It's just like you said, you know, you see him with... that he would be such a good match for Connie if that situation could work out. But we just don't give him a whole lot of thought. So it'll be interesting if he does end up having some kind of a more important role than...
Maybe Richie's gay lover is a hitman that Manulis hires to shoot Rosie.
Well, that would be one one ending.
And I don't mean with a camera, know what I'm saying?
Jeez. It's early on the West Coast, isn't it?
Too early.
Yeah.
This show gets 68% on Rotten Tomatoes, so it's kind of a shitty show. But it's fun to think about, and it's fun to make fun of, for sure.
It really is kind of fun to pick apart, and I find myself really looking forward to it so I can pick it apart. And that's kind of ugly, but it's true.
All right, Michelle, West Coast Project. This is just a general one. We're not going to set up a page for this.
Because we're a little embarrassed.
How do people reach you on Twitter when you're not doing your Hollywood reviews?
Michelle from TN.
Michelle from TN. I'm at Scathing Tweets, and hopefully we'll do the finale in a couple weeks. If you have some time, it'd be great.
Sure.
We're going to be kicking in our Louis. Louis starts in a couple weeks too.
Hey, what are you thinking about those commercials?
They're great.
Leading up to, aren't they good? I mean, it's like they've really bumped this up. I'm impressed, and I can't believe I'm saying this, because, you know, you and I and Louie, I mean, geez, that's like fight fest. But I really like the commercials. I detest commercials for the most part, except for Super Bowl commercials. But I really like these. I'm finding myself stopping and watching these commercials.
Arty. They're like all black and white, and they're very self-deprecating. Like, Louie is so funny. Like, hey, what do you think about the new Louie episodes coming up? And people just look at the camera like, who? What?
Yeah. Is it, do you think it's real people? Because you know how he does stuff like that. I mean, obviously like, it's real people.
I don't think they're saying, okay, act really stupid and surprised when I ask. I think they probably did ask people that, and they got enough people. Probably have no idea who Louis C.K. is, and they just put it up.
It looks like they just kind of went out in New York or wherever and just grabbed people and asked them. And whether it's real or not, it's captivating to me.
It's the perfect message for Louis, for sure.
I agree. Oh my gosh, Mike, we agreed on something about Louis.
All right, so that one is on West Coast Project with its own page, Louis TV, and we're on Stitcher, and we're on iTunes, and we're on TuneIn Radio if you want podcast feeds for your iPhone or your tablet or whatever, your smartphone. So, Michelle, until then, we'll probably finish up the slap and then go right into Louis in a couple weeks.
Sounds fun.
All right, I'll talk to you then. Have a great day.
Okay, you too, Mike.
Bye.
Bye. Drifting into my solitude, over my head, don't you wonder sometimes?
sound and vision, sound.